Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, have you ever thought about creating your own nature reserve in the back garden, an area that all sorts of creatures can make into their own home? Well, my next guest has written a book to help you do just that. Donna Mullen is an ecologist and her new book is called How to Build Your Own Nature Reserve. And Donna is here. Donna, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for being with us and congratulations on this really beautiful book full of brilliant information, really helpful tips as well. This has been a work in progress for you since you were a very small child, has it?
Yes, I've been writing since I was 6 years old. So finally, O'Brien Press decided that they'd publish my book. And I've also been obsessed by animals always. So I met my husband. He set up a bat group and I met him at one of the first meetings. So when he thought when he met a woman who'd stay out all night watching bats with him, I was the one. So we bought a farm then about 25 years ago and decided to make it into a nature reserve. And
so where did you start? Like, how do you start making a nature reserve?
Well, like there's lots of things you can do. The whole thing is very overwhelming. So it's best to just take one animal and say, this year, I'm going to bring in this animal into my nature reserve. So your nature reserve can be your garden or your balcony, or it can be the community. Mm-hmm. You know, within your tidy towns group, you can designate, a part of your town as your local nature
reserve.
So
did you and your husband start with bats then?
Yeah, we started with bats. And then one of the first things we did was put in trees. We put in forests and a big pond. And then I'm terribly impatient. I like things that work, straight away. And the book is all full of things that work, kind of fast.
Quickly.
We had to wait 4 years for newts to come. We were looking at, and then we discovered that newts love living in old wellies. So now our pond, it looks like Imelda Marcos has been there. There's shoes and old wellies and old waders. And the newts just like to live in the plastic.
Why do they like living in wellies?
I suppose it's damp and probably nothing can really get them there. Mm-hmm. If they're deep in waders, nothing can get them there. So it's kind of by trial and error, we're finding out things all the time.
What I love about your book is that you do a lot on the personality of the animals. I mean, they each have their own little quirks and nuances. I was talking to you there during the break about the badgers. The badgers love a nice clean house, do they?
Oh, they really do. They're the real interior designers of the animal world. They absolutely, they're very obsessive about keeping the place clean, and they like to line their set with all kinds of things that they find. So, like, a lot of the time they line it with plastic bags to keep out the damp.
Isn't that extraordinary, they would do that?
Absolutely. My husband found one and it was lined with hundreds of Coca-Cola bottles. And they have
insulation and to keep it dry.
And I think they just like the look of it. You know, I think we tried to build our own badger set. Badgers have like a main set that's like an ancestral home, which mm-hmm. is the place that they love to live the best. So like in the book, it's all things that we've tried and have worked. This one did really work. I don't have how to build a badger set in the book because the badgers now come and they poo in it. So we kind of built a badger toilet.
Well, look, I mean, you're helping them out, right?
We are.
Because they're so house proud that they wouldn't want to do that anywhere near their own home that they built. They air out their beds as well.
Exactly. They bring out the beds and they put it out. So actually a way that you'll know an active set often is that there's lots of hay and everything outside. They put out their beds about every 10 days. They do a big clean out. And it's like all households, and it's the parents do most of the work. So they do all the cleaning.
So mommy and daddy bring the beds out.
Mommy and daddy bring out the beds. A bit like hanging your duvet out on the line to air it a bit. And then they, after a couple of hours in the sun, they inspect it and have a look. Is it okay? They bring it back in again. Or if they think it's no good, they go and get more.
Okay. So now, listen, I'm going down the road here of the different personalities of the animals. But really what you're here to tell us about is how to attract them in. So where do we start? Because you did say start small. Don't be impatient like you. Pick one species and maybe think, well, this year I'm going to attract, what would be the easiest one to go for first?
Yeah, I'd say go for the blue tit. So very easy, and you can be impatient because it'll come immediately. So I'd say get a couple of blue tip boxes. They're the ones with the holes in them that you can fit about two fingers into. Mm-hmm. And put up a few, but they'll only use one. But the male likes to have a few, and he shows, you know, the prospective, you know, his girlfriend, where would you like to live? So it's like home of the year or something, you know. She goes, looks at them all.
So they go viewing the property.
They go view, and then she chooses where she wants. So like, although you have a few boxes, say, oh, they're only using the one. But it's to give him, it's like, I don't know, land with good road frontage or whatever, you know. And she's, he's more likely to get a, you know, good woman if she if she's happy with where they're going to live.
And do they build a nest in there then?
Yeah, she'll build the nest then. She'll do that and raise the chicks. Now, you have to think then about feeding them. So we've got a home for them. So put the food away from their home, a bit like we wouldn't want to have our bed in the middle of a busy restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I'd say hang a peanut feeder out in the front garden. So that as well, that'll get all your neighbours asking, what are you doing? And you might get the whole street as a blue tit sanctuary. So they need to eat, you know, they eat nuts and they, you know, they eat lots of things like that. But the chicks, even though the adults eat seeds, the chicks, when they're small, they need to eat insects. So they particularly like moth caterpillars. So if you could put somewhere a little patch of nettles somewhere in your garden,
that will help them.
That'll help them.
Do you feed the birds all year round or just in the winter?
Yeah, I feed them all year round, but particularly in the winter. You know, the winter, and you just really see it. And also as well, like a lot of the birds, the chicks, although you put out seeds and things, they have to have insects when they're very small.
Yes. So that's why you're advising the nettles there as well.
The nettles as well.
You probably don't mind rodents being attracted into the garden with these feeders.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah. I mean, you don't want that, you know, unless you can also bring in foxes to eat them. So things like if you have a bird feeder that's on a pole, if you put something like an umbrella up a pole, nothing will be able to climb up the pole. Like rats really can climb up poles. Oof. So something like a basket upside down, or you can just, I mean, like the main thing, throw out your food waste scraps, put them on a bird table and just take them in at night time. Rats might come out at dusk and dawn.
But they won't come out during the day to feed.
No, usually it would only be like a sick rat or something peculiar that comes out in the daytime.
Now, you mentioned foxes there, and I was fascinated as well to see that their personality is that of a messy teenager, as opposed to the lovely, neat badger.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're wild.
They're wild. And with the fox and the vixen, they have like kind of, I suppose, it's wartime romances. It's usually they're really fussy about their partners, but if they think that they're going to die soon, they'll just, the male and the vixen, they'll just kind of hook up with anybody. So that happens a lot more in cities, where they kind of feel they might get run over by cars and life is more dangerous. So they seize the day. They seize the day, exactly.
And that flows into their home as well, does it? How they keep their home.
Exactly. Their home is fairly messy. And I know once I worked in a wildlife rescue place in Blanchardstown years ago, and I went in and the fox had escaped from the tiniest hole. He had totally trashed the whole building. There was one poor jackdaw squawking miserably in a cage, and the fox wrecked the place, then got back into his cage and fell asleep. Oh. And it, you know, absolutely
I'd love to know
cool.
why. You know,
amazing. Yeah, he just didn't like neatness. Yeah.
Right. Let's tear this place up a little bit. So when people are interested in creating this wildlife reserve, we've told them now to start maybe with the blue tits. What would you graduate on to then after that, if you've successfully done that?
Yeah, well, the best thing you can do really to bring animals in at all is to build a pond. So I would use, yeah, for a pond, you can use anything. You can, you know, use pond liner, use an old kid's paddling pool. Even if anyone is there at the moment washing the dishes, listening to the radio, take the basin from your kitchen sink and go out and sink it in the ground. Put a few bricks and things into it, rocks into it, so that anything that falls in can get out again.
And what will come first?
To come first, you'll probably get midges and then diving beetles. And then even you'll get frogs, even in something the size of a basin.
Frogs or toads? More likely to get toads, are we in Ireland?
So not yet. You might get them, but not in Dublin. But frogs are just amazing. And you might get newts. So the bigger you can go, the better. And the edges of ponds is where it all happens. So you kind of want a pond, you know, that's like star shaped or just has a lot of edges, shallow edges. That's where, you know, that's where everything happens.
Well, Donna, your enthusiasm is infectious. And thank you so much for coming in. The book is called Make Your Home a Nature Reserve. It really is a beautiful book. And you might think about it if you're looking for a gift for somebody who's interested in nature. It's published by the O'Brien Press by Donna Mullen. Donna, we'd love to see you again as well. Hopefully we will.